Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, happy Father's Day. As a blessed this morning, my boys, they didn't go out and get it themselves. They got me a cool Star Wars pen. And it's got a torch on the end, which projects a stormtrooper helmet onto the wall. So I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm just going to knock this aircon off. I'll get warm. Everybody else has sat down, aren't they? Cool. Are we all good this morning?
Very good.
It's brightening up a little bit. We've had some rain this week, haven't we? Yeah. My goodness. That's crazy. Yeah, well, I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt this morning because you'll remember a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching, I was talking about there's something about Hawaiian shirts that whenever you see somebody in an Hawaiian shirt, they just seem more chilled, more relaxed, and they're walking slower than everybody else, and they just seem to, like, I don't have a care in the world. I've got my Hawaiian shirt on, and I am enjoying today. So I thought this morning, I was struggling with what to wear. I have that problem too, as a man. I was like, what do I wear? It's kind of that funny weather. It's like, it's a bit cool, but when I'm preaching, I get hot. So I thought, I'm going to wear my Hawaiian shirt. So I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt today. I've not worn the shorts to go with it. I've still stuck with jeans and kept a bit of order. But today, I want to talk about conditioned thinking. Conditioned thinking. And believe it or not, as we live our life, we are constantly encountering experiences that condition the way that we think. Every single day, something happens, we see something, we do something, which conditions the way that we think. It adjusts our outlook on life, it adjusts our outlook on other people, and even adjusts our outlook on God, for better or worse, depending on how that situation might be. But we are constantly in a place of experiencing our thinking being conditioned all the time, and conditioning basically being where something is being trained to be a certain way. Something's been constantly trained in athletes and sport. They have like conditioning coaches that to condition the athletes to be in the peak ability for that particular performance. All our Team GB will be doing their conditioning at the moment. So there's so much talk about the Euros at the moment, we're completely forgetting that it's the Olympics, aren't we? Come on, Team GB. I'm still excited. I know we're not hosting it this year, but I love the Olympics. But the guys are getting conditioned, ready. They've been preparing for the last 4 years, these guys, conditioning themselves. A boxer will condition himself for a particular fight. He will have a conditioning coach that helps him get prepared and ready for that particular fight. I'm kind of just like Anthony Joshua at the moment. I think the guy's just so awesome. He's a specimen, isn't he? He's like, man, that guy is in peak physical condition. But he's been conditioning himself for a long time. I kind of, the fact that they've now said that professionals can box in the Olympics as well, I'm kind of like, that's a bit unfair, really, isn't it? You know, some guy's been training all these years to go to the Olympics and he's going to end up having Tyson Fury or somebody come and knock his block off or something. It's like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. No one told me he was going to be here. But we get conditioned into a certain way of thinking, and our experiences and experience in the most part is a good thing. When we become more experienced in something, it's a good thing. We become more knowledgeable about a certain thing. We gain more wisdom and know-how. So to have knowledge is good. We want to gain knowledge. We want experience. So often you hear about in lots of situations like this, and it's great to have some young people that are coming through, but it's also you need a little bit of experience on there as well. It's great in the football to see all these young guys coming through, but it's good to have the Wayne Rooneys who've got that experience as well. And that's a positive thing, but sometimes there's also a negative side to experience as well, because I'm sure regardless of our age, our experiences start to cause us to be conditioned to a certain way of thinking. So the negative side is that we can doubt more. We can fear failure because we might have failed before, or we can also fear losing what we've gained because we've become more and more experienced and gained more and more as we've gone on. So sometimes to be at the beginning of the journey gives us something which experience doesn't, and that's the lack of conditioned thinking. So often people launch into things, and it's usually when the people who are most
well versed in those particular things, the masters of those situations, sometimes miss what somebody new coming in can see because they don't have the same conditioned thinking. Amen. They don't have that conditioned thinking. They come and see everything literally from face value as opposed to seeing it from years and years of experience. And it's easy in our life to fall into thinking because we become conditioned in a certain way and we fall into saying such things as, well, I tried that before, but it didn't work. Or I prayed to God about that and he didn't do anything. And we start to live in this way of saying, well, we tried that and it didn't happen. I prayed that and God didn't do anything. And what we start to do is we limit our potential opportunities because we've become conditioned to think a certain way. And when we start to think that way, we start to put limitations on a limitless God. God is able to do far more. We'll come to that a bit later. But when we start to think in a certain way of conditioned thinking, we limit God in such a way that we say, well, that didn't work before, so it's not going to work now. That didn't happen, so it's not going to happen. And as we do that, we, over the years, we're conditioned to think a certain way, see a certain way, speak a certain way, and read a certain way. So if you just look at the screen and read this. Okay, so it doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letters be at the right place. The rest can be a total mess. And you can still read it without problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. Or perhaps this one. Similarly, your mind is reading this automatically without even thinking about it. Because your mind has conditioned itself over years and years to read a certain way. Now, that first one, that's how books generally look to me anyway. So it's like, I'm reading that, like, what's the problem? What do you mean it's not spelt right? So that was a quite a clever trick that I adapted in my teenage years because I struggled to spell. So I kind of found out that as long as I get the first and last letter right, I can just squiggle in between. And most people will be able to guess what it says. So it's like, I don't know how to spell this word. I kind of know it's meant to be like that. Write the letter. Yeah, that'll be fine. So I kind of use that to my advantage. But it's amazing, isn't it, how when you look at it on the face value, I mean, there's numbers and everything in there, but your mind's still able to read it because you've been conditioned over years and years to say, this is what I see. This is what it looks like. This is what I'm supposed to read. This is what it's supposed to look like. And our brains recognize patterns and jump to conclusions about what comes next, which is why, as a Jesus follower, we do this a lot. If you're a believer and you read your Bible and you switch translations, so you're used to reading the New Living Translation, all of a sudden you start reading the NIV, which is written slightly differently, and you start reading it and you're quoting it in a way that you're conditioned to think. So all of a sudden you start reading John 3:16, how you think it should be, but then you kind of have to try back, oh, it doesn't say it like that in this version. It's slightly different. So we're constantly conditioned all the time, and we jump to conclusions to say, okay, I've experienced this before. This is what happens next. My mind is telling me that because of where I am and what is happening, this is what's going to come next. Now, the problem with that is we don't know what's going to come next with God. We don't know what's going to happen next, but our conditioned thinking tells us it's going to be this way. So therefore, we believe that that's going to happen. And then we limit God with the ability to work in that situation. Another example was a music student was playing the piano and reading from a piece of music, and they played it exactly as the piece of music was printed, and it sounded wrong. So their teacher, who was a master at their craft, had said, you've played that wrong, go back and do it again. And then they got into this Q&A, and the student's like, no, I've played exactly what it says. He's like, no, it sounds wrong, you've played it wrong. Lo and behold, there was a misprint in this particular booklet of music. So they decided, okay, there must be a misprint. Perhaps it's just our book that's wrong. We will take it back and get a new one. It turns out that every single copy of that particular piece of music had the misprint, but all the people playing it were accomplished musicians. So they'd already guessed what was coming next because they were so conditioned and trained to know what should be played next is this. They just did it automatically and didn't see the mistake. But the person who wasn't conditioned to see that picked up on the mistake. So where all of these conditioned thinkers missed it, somebody that wasn't conditioned to see things that way, picked out on something that many, many people had missed out on something. It's amazing, isn't it? So if that particular student hadn't played that piece of music, it may never have been picked up on because the conditioned musicians were able to guess this is what's coming next. Or like when we start reading something, we kind of guess what's coming next. Do you ever do it when you're reading a book, you kind of like guess what's coming next and you put in there what you hope's going to happen and it's not? It's like, what do you mean he dies? Oh. So, you know, I'm really rubbish at reading novels. I was just talking to Pastor Lynn the other day about kind of like, I like my Assassin's Creed novels when I get a chance. And I'm a pastor reading Assassin's Creed, what's the matter with you? But I can't wait to find out what's going to happen. And so I'll read the beginning and get the intro, then I'll read the middle and get a bit of an idea of what's going on, and I'll read the end. Now the problem is, one of the times I read one and like half of the characters at the end had been introduced after the halfway point. So I was like, I don't know what's going on. What's happening? But we condition ourselves to think and we want to try and guess where things are going to go. We like to try and guess how's it going to work out. Our conditioned thinking starts to automatically do something and say, this is what's going to happen. This has happened before and it's going to happen again. Or I've been in this situation before and it's all going to go wrong again. Or even worse than times, I've been in this situation before, it's really easy and I can just get through it, and we become complacent and we miss out because our conditioned thinking plays this role. And so often in life, we know how things are going to play out. We know it's going to play out, and we use that phrase a lot, it's happening again, or it's going to happen again, because we think we know what's going to happen again, because our conditioned thinking starts to tell us these things, and we have these signals and messages going on. So let's see what the Bible's got to say about this, because that's why we're here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the science-y bit now. Now let's get into the Bible bit of this morning. So how do we live in such a way that doesn't let our conditioned thinking limit a limitless God? And in doing so, limit our future potential. Because when we live in a conditioned thinking, we limit God and we limit our futures, because God has got so much more in our futures that we start to say, well, this is going to happen again. And so we start to limit a limitless God. So let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, a great leader, a real spearhead leader at the start of the early church, and written a good chunk of our New Testament Bible. And here, this is his letter writing to the Jesus followers in the church in Rome. And this is a real kind of straight down the line message, really. There's so much in Romans, that book of Romans that he wrote, that's just like straight down the line stuff, like no grey areas at all, just this is the way it is. And he says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of want that, his good, perfect and pleasing will, more than anything else, because that just sounds good. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
God's pleasing, good, perfect will. But it's the bit of transformed by the renewing of our mind. And, we can look at that, and sometimes I look around church and places, not particularly this church, but just Christian world in general, and I think people read that as transformed by the removal of your mind, and just walk around like, what's the matter with you? It said transformed by the renewing, not removal. We still have a part to play, we still have a thought, we still have a brain. You know, we don't want to lose our brains, we were given them for a reason. But the word transformation, according to publishers Merriam and Webster, means a complete or major change in someone or something's appearance or form, etc. And this gives a basic definition of transformation as a kind of change. Transformation is a change. It has to take place. Something has to change. Something has to happen. The good thing has to happen. You've got to bring Vardy and Sturridge on at half time for something to happen. It's a change that needs to be made. It's a transformation that needs to happen. It's a thing that needs to happen. And some people may already know this if you're really deep into your Greek stuff, but the Greek language which the New Testament was written in, it, the original word for transformation is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis, or if you're really into your Christian music, Delirious had an album called Metamorphosis many, many years ago. But Metamorphosis is the original Greek word, which the biological definition for metamorphosis, again, according to Merriam-Webster, is a profound change in the form from one stage to the next in the life history of an organism, as from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Now, I kind of, every time I read that, I'm like, we've got this book called, it's a Max Lucado book called Hermy the Common Caterpillar, which you like read read on the night with Elijah. I really like it. I think it's a great story. He's basically, he keeps asking God, why am I so common? You know, and he sees all the other animals, and why is the ant strong? Why is the snail got a house? Why is the butterfly so pretty? And God just keeps saying, the ladybird so pretty. Just keeps saying, why are you, you know, I'm not finished with you yet, Hermy. I'm not finished with you yet. And eventually he goes through metamorphosis and he becomes the butterfly. Sorry to spoil the end for you. But your conditioned thinking probably would have led you to where it was going to go anyway. He goes through metamorphosis and becomes this beautiful butterfly with a heart like God's. It's a beautiful story. It really is. If you've got kids, I'd recommend getting Max Lucado, Hermy the Common Caterpillar. It's just great. And to understand that God loves us and the transformation that goes on. But metamorphosis is so that journey from caterpillar to butterfly, that's such a radical change. But although an outward change in appearance happens through that situation, the change comes from within the life of the organism in and of itself. So a caterpillar is born with the life that causes it to become a butterfly. The ability to become a butterfly is already on the inside of the caterpillar. It doesn't just put on a butterfly costume and strive to be a butterfly. You know what I mean? That's a caterpillar, but they've just stuck some wings on it. It's like, no, the life force within the caterpillar is there from birth to transform or metamorphosis into a butterfly. It's not something that develops, it's there from the start. It's able to grow into that and transform into that situation. Likewise for us, we are born with the ability to be transformed by the renewing of our thinking. We don't just put on a Jesus costume and walk around pretending to be Jesus. Some people do. I don't have a Jesus costume. That's one of the costumes I don't have. I've got the beard. I often said Josh's hair and my beard together kind of make a bit of a Jesus, but we, as we make that journey, we're not just dressing up and playing Jesus. We're not acting and playing Jesus. We are made one with Jesus. We are made one with Christ in that. We are created with the ability for that transformation to take place. Yeah. It's already there. The metamorphosis just happens when we make that decision to go from one stage of life to the next, to come out of that place of not knowing God and unforgiveness to a place of knowing God and living in unforgiveness. We make that change. We're not just playing. We become one with him. We make that transformation. And the Bible tells us that we're to put on the mind of Christ, to think like Christ, to be like him, to put on the mind of Christ. Such is a transformation from our own way of thinking into his way of thinking. And the whole thing of being transformed by the renewing of our mind is, it's a twofold thing, really. There's two sides to that coin, because there's that first initial kind of metamorphosis transformation where we go from what we would call a worldly mindset, thinking how the world thinks, not how God thinks, thinking or what we would call an unsaved state, thinking in a certain way from a worldly mindset to a kingdom mindset, thinking how God thinks, putting on the mind of Christ, living and thinking with a kingdom of God mentality at the point of salvation where we come to Jesus. And Jesus' followers are to have a completely different mindset to that of a worldly one, bringing their thinking in line with God through the Bible, through what he says in the Bible, through the words we read in the Bible, through the songs we sing during worship, through the stuff that we listen to from God. We are making that transformation. Our worldly thinking is transformed into a new stage of thinking. And it's amazing when that happens, because you start to see certain things that just seemed fine all of a sudden make you feel uncomfortable. Certain things that are said that you would have been saying yourself with no problem all of a sudden make you feel really unsettled. Certain language you use, and we see this transformation take place so that there's an instant thing at the first stage to say, okay, the metamorphosis has happened. You've broken out of that place. You've gone from caterpillar to chrysalis. That's the challenge I have when I'm having to explain to Elijah what a chrysalis is in this book. And it's just this brown thing dropping down from a tree. And it's like, it's a chrysalis. What's a chrysalis? It's like, oh man, how do I explain this to a three-year-old? I haven't got there yet. So don't worry about it. Let's just move on. And that transformation, then we come into that place. But then the other side of that transformation is an ongoing daily transformation. An ongoing daily transformation that is not limited by our past experiences and believes that an infinite God can do more than our conditioned thinking says that he can. So when we say transformed by the renewing of our mind, yes, there's a one-time event that takes place at the point of salvation and making the decision to follow Jesus where our mind is changed from one way of thinking to another. But then it's something that has to be conditioned daily, because we live in a situation where other things are going to be trying to condition our thinking all the time. Stuff goes wrong. We fail. Things happen that we don't want to happen. We see things we don't want to see. We fall into seeing things that we shouldn't see, but we do anyway. We listen to things we shouldn't listen to. And all these things are conditioning our thinking, trying their hardest to get our thinking back to where we were at the point. Now, last time I checked, a butterfly couldn't become a caterpillar again. Even if, you know, it tried its hardest, it can't get back into that place again. Okay, but these conditioning can come back. It can start to think like a caterpillar again. It's still going to be a butterfly. Okay, but as we live in a world where some things are trying to condition our thinking to a certain way, we have to make sure that we are conditioning it in that kingdom way. We have to make sure that daily we're not letting our conditioned thinking say, well, that didn't happen then, so it isn't going to happen now. God didn't do that then, so he's not going to do it now. And we almost need to get ourselves back right to the start of that point where we just didn't question anything. You know, when you came to God, before things came a struggle, before faith really became the faith that it is for you today, of thinking, this is hard. This is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. We need to be back in that, you know, the Bible talks about not forgetting your first love. And I love that whole thing of remembering that point of salvation when everything seemed possible, when you're able to say to God, yeah, I'm just trusting that you're the God of the infinite and I'm trusting you're going to do infinite things in my life. But over the time, the conditioned thinking comes in and dampens down. And as we renew our thinking every day, we're renewing it back to that point all the time. God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm believing that you are an infinite God. You're able to do this. I don't care what happened in the past. I'm trusting that today is different. I'm trusting that although that hasn't happened, it's going to happen. I'm trusting that although I failed at that before, I'm going to be able to do this time round, because some things that don't work in one season are ready to work in the next. Certain things will not grow in a certain season, but some things, when it comes their season, when it becomes their point, they happen. And I listened to a great message by Jared Cooper. Some of you will be familiar with him. He's going to be speaking at the Faith Camp, which we're going to this year, which is a big Christian conference over in Peterborough. And he was talking about how we try something in the wrong season and it doesn't work, so we never try it again. But then the season changes and we just say, well, it doesn't work. But the season's kind of like ripe for it. It's kind of, come on, do this, try this, put this into action, try this situation, try doing this. And when we do, the season's perfect for it and it works. But our conditioned thinking holds us back so often. Are you keeping up with me today?
Yeah.
I'm always wary that when there's a little bit of science in there, it's kind of like, you know, you feel like you've had the removal of your mind. But yeah, as long as you're with me, that's all right. So God cannot be limited. Only by the way we think. He's not a limited God. He's a limitless God. Yeah. But our thinking can so often limit his work in our own lives. We forget that God doesn't want to be limited. He wants the ability to do what he wants. Ephesians chapter 3, 20. Another one of the great New Testament books. Some amazing stuff in here as well. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. To accomplish infinitely more. Now a conditioned mind of, this is not going to work, I've already failed, I can't get through this, doesn't live in the revelation of that scripture, that God can do infinitely more. He can accomplish infinitely more in your life, which is why the renewing daily needs to happen of saying, that's happened before, but today is a new day. And I'm going to live with a reconditioned mind of saying, God, you're an infinite God, and I'm trusting you today. It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. But I'm not going to let what happened behind me condition me to think a certain way going forward. And as we do that, there's certain times to look back and be encouraged about what's going on. But there's a bigger reason to be looking forward to what God's got for us. Amen. Yeah. That's why the rear view mirror is a lot smaller than the windscreen on a car. Okay, it's a bit awkward, isn't it, driving with using the wing mirror? You're not even supposed to use it. You fail your test if you do that. You're supposed to turn right the way around. Or just get a reversing camera like I've got in my car, which is just like the best thing ever. Like, it's probably like really old school now. It's an old car, but it's like a reversing camera. I can actually see what I'm doing behind me and I don't even have to turn my head. And I had a bit of a shock the other week, actually. I went to pick somebody up for a lunch club in Sheila's car and I was kind of like looking for the camera. I was like, what's all this about? I've actually got to turn my head. I don't want to turn my head. Where's my camera? It's like, but I've become conditioned into thinking, where's my camera? But the screen is still a lot smaller than the windscreen, because looking forward is where we're supposed to be looking. There's a reason to glimpse back sometimes, to be encouraged and to learn from what's gone before us. But as we look forward into the broad, open space of what God has got for us, not allowing the conditioned thinking to limit what is in front of us. Not allowing what's happened before to limit what God wants to do in the future. So, how do we live in a way that doesn't let our past conditioned thinking limit our future and limit God? Okay, so I've got a bit of practical stuff now for you to take away and do something with, all right?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
It's good to have a bit of practical stuff, isn't it?
So
say, okay, yeah, so this is what we've learned. This is now what we're going to do. If I had a lesson plan for a school, I'd be writing my objectives and the takeaway thing as well. One practical way to accomplish this, and for some people, this is going to seem really interesting, but it's to have a think session. A think session. Does that sound weird? No? A think session. Now, I don't know if this is just like a pastor thing, but I know I have them. And I know that Pastor Lynn has a think session as well. And has a lot of time to think. I used to say, it's too dangerous when you start thinking too much. But a think session, it's slightly different to praying. It's slightly different to sitting down and praying specifically for something. A think session is where you sit down and say, I'm going to think about some things on purpose now. I'm going to think about the things on purpose. And then you spend some time thinking about the scriptures that renew your mind with the truth about what God says. So you're sitting down with the scriptures and you're thinking on those things and you're letting that renewing daily happen in your life. Some people call it meditating on scripture or a think session, but to sit and think on these things, Selah, it says in the Bible a lot, doesn't it? Think on this, it means. Think on these things. How often do you read the psalm and you see Selah at the end and you don't think on it? Think, oh, that word's there again. Some people might think, I didn't even know what it meant. I thought it was a misprint. I thought it was an advertisement. That's what it means. Stop, pause, think. Think on these things. Think on this. And if you've read a psalm with that there, there's a good reason to stop and think about it for a reason and for a purpose. So as we do that, it's an important thing to do. But as we do that, we start to renew our mind and we start to renew what we're thinking with God's truth. And with his love for you, his plan for you, how he wants you to live and behave. And just thinking on all of these things, getting some of those scriptures together and sitting down and thinking on those things, getting a coffee, getting a tea, sitting down and thinking on those things. Because I can guarantee that the moment you're out of that session, there's going to be other things that are coming in that are trying to condition your thinking to be thinking a different way. Where at least if you've set yourself up and said, I'm set now, I've had my coffee, I've thought on these things of God. I've set my mind to the things of the kingdom. I've set myself up to say, I'm all good now. I'm ready to face whatever comes against me. I'm able to behave differently because I'm being transformed. I'm able to think differently in my think session because I'm being transformed by the power of God's message. Use Google or a concordance, that's a big word, basically a Bible dictionary, which basically has different topics, and it'll have a word like, I don't know, sorrow is what came to me. Sorrow or fear or love, and then you'll look up that word like in a dictionary, and it'll give you all the different scriptures which tell you what about those particular things. Some Bibles have them. I tend to just go onto Google personally and just type in that particular thing, and scriptures about love or scriptures about, and there's loads of stuff come up. There's some great resources now. So go on there and find verses that cover the areas that you're struggling with at that time. And things that you're struggling with, when you're having that think time, I think, I'm really struggling with this. I'm struggling with this in my thinking. I'm struggling to get my head around this. Find scriptures. Like I've said before, it's very difficult to not find something in the Bible that speaks right into where you're at. It might just be one sentence, but get a hold of it, find it, and just think on it, thinking about it and working it through, talking to God about it, thinking about what happens and letting that renewing and that transformation take place all the time in your thinking. I want to encourage you to write it down. Write it down, stick it on the mirror, stick it on the fridge. You know, I've known some people that are kind of like struggling with temptation of getting stuff out the fridge and put loads of temptation scriptures on the fridge door. Like saying, okay, I'm gonna, I feel, you know, I don't know, about the whole scripture of Jesus being tempted in the desert for 40 days on the fridge. Like, if Jesus could do it, I can do it. I'm staying away. But all joking aside, putting these things around, you know, so that when you're seeing it through the day, you're seeing this scripture, you're seeing what is supposed to be coming into your thinking and helping you to transform into that mind of Christ and thinking in that way. So write them down and stick them somewhere where you're going to see it regularly. And if you commit to set your mind on God's word or the Bible, whichever phrase you want to use, renewing your mind with truth and getting that, what's sometimes called stinking thinking, out of your way, and then you'll experience the fullness of God's life in a new way. A new life in Christ every single day. Not just the one time new life, but a new life every single day. Renewed today, renewed today, renewed today, renewed today. I'm renewing all the time because there's always so much of the kingdom to get our heads around. There's always so much of the kingdom to get a hold of. As I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, I'm seeing more of Christ. I'm becoming more and more like Christ every single day. And that's why it's a process and a journey. That's why it's something that we have to fight for sometimes. Something we have to stay in a place of saying, I'm not letting myself slip back. I'm not letting my thinking fall into something which it shouldn't. Because today I'm becoming more like Christ than I was yesterday. Today I'm moving into something that I didn't experience yesterday. I'm going to become more and more like him in such a way that one day, it's all going to be over anyway, isn't it? We're going to be there and in that place. But while we're in this world, we need to keep moving on that process of being transformed by the renewing of our minds, seeing the stinking thinking gone and the kingdom thinking coming in and moving in our life in such a way so that we experience the fullness of new life that we can have in him, in Christ. And it all takes a little progress, one day at a time. Now, I'm not so much of a one day at a time kind of person sometimes. I kind of want it done now. I've spoken about this before, aren't I? Like, I'll run myself into the ground to get something done, not stopping for lunch, not stopping for tea. Like, if I can get it done today, it's done. But it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong process. From that moment, we have that original metamorphosis, transformation from non-believer to believer, and then that journey throughout the rest of our life of being transformed by the renewing of our mind each and every single day. Don't limit God. Your future is not determined by your past or even your present. Mm-hmm. Your future is not determined by your past or even your present. Something different is there tomorrow.
Yeah.
something different. And so often this conditioned thinking tries to get us into a place of holding us captive and saying, well, that never happened, or you failed at that, or you got that wrong. I just want to say right now, you let that thinking go and know that, that what's behind isn't determining where you're going. Where, when you're thinking and being transformed more and more into Christ, is determining where you are going. Don't be thinking about the whole thing of just because it didn't happen then, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen now. That's not true. Just because it didn't happen then, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen someday. If it's God's will and God's plan for your life, it will happen. It will outwork and it will come to pass. The promises of God will come to pass in the right season. What hasn't worked in one season will work in the next. And as you live this way, God will take you places you never imagined. You know, we can't imagine sometimes where God's going to go, but when we put him in the driving seat and we let him direct and guide, we're just like, man, I never imagined I would be here. Some of you can probably even think of that now and think where you were maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Think, wow, I never thought I would be where I am today, but God's done such an amazing thing in my life and I'm here. And there's no reason why in another 10 years, another 20 years' time, he can't do that. In another 5 years, tomorrow, that God can't do that. Because as we don't allow our conditioned thinking to limit him, he's able to go to work on our behalf and do far more than we can ever dream or imagine. Infinitely more. Because he's an infinite God who is helping you to renew your thinking from a worldly mindset to a kingdom mindset. So put on the mind of Christ, as we're told to. Think like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Don't just play Jesus, but become one with Christ. And as you do that, you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not just as a one-off event, but daily, every single day. So take it into practice. Even today, have a bit of a think session, just thinking on those things of God, thinking on those scriptures, and putting into practice what God wants to do and what God wants to see in your life. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand, shall we?